I've done a fair bit of travel over the years, and often they were surrounded around World Youth Days. And World Youth Day always brings pilgrims from all over the world. And I remember a particular one in 2011 in World Youth Day, Madrid, Spain. The Pope was arriving, and Pope Benedict was coming, and everyone was encouraged to wave the flags of their home country. And as I looked around, there were flags from all over the world. Every single continent was there. I didn't see Antarctica, but it's probably there. A penguin. But it was, you know, there were flags from North, South America. There were flags from all over Europe. There were flags from Africa. There were flags from the Middle East. There were some Iraqi Christians there. And there were from Asia, everywhere, Australia, everywhere. It was right there. So all these people, and including some people of the Eastern Catholic rites, they were there as well. And if you go around the world, you visit the churches, you begin to see all these different faiths around the world, the different people professing the one faith throughout the world. And you will see different rites of the Catholic Church. There's the Ukrainian Catholic Church, there's the Syro-Malabar rite, the Syro-Malankar rite, both in India. There's the different rites of them, the Coptic, the Syrian church. And then we have the Latin church, and we have different usages of the liturgy, the ordinary form, the extraordinary form, the Anglican ordinariate. We have the Sarum rite. We have different usages. So there's diversity, yet there's unity, and we're united by the one faith, the one profession of faith. And we're united by the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, where the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ. Yet, we are all called to belong to the church. However, for some people, that can be entering the narrow door, because all of us are being asked to accept things that go beyond our capacity as human beings to accept, because God is infinite. He's an infinite being. He goes beyond our imagining, and we're only finite. We can only understand so much of God. God goes way beyond our ability to comprehend him. We can understand him only in part, only in a very basic sense. But once we try to go deeper, we realize how little we can actually understand of God. His ways are very much unlike our ways. His mode of existence, the way he exists, is so different. It's so grand, so vast. Even the whole universe is too small for God. And even other things that people struggle with in the faith, people will say they don't believe this or that, but maybe the real problems that they feel they don't understand this or that. Like, for example, in the Eucharist, a lot of people, you know, they know it's the body and blood of Christ, but they don't understand it fully. They try to figure out how can this be. And so they say they don't believe it, or they don't believe in something about the Mass or about other things. And that's where we have to accept things in faith, because even the Eucharist is a great mystery. It's a very deep mystery. And we can understand it in parts, but we cannot understand it fully because it's Christ. Christ is infinite, and we are only finite. We're limited, but we can understand it in part, but not everything. And so that's why we need to submit to God in faith. We need to say, okay, God, I don't fully understand, but I'm going to believe this in faith to you. Because in faith, we basically trust God. We trust God and the things that God says. Faith is actually an act of trust in God. A lot of people find trust difficult because they have trust issues in their lives. And so trust is very difficult for them, and by extension, faith comes difficult. But we have to avoid our tendency to want to get to the bottom of everything, try to understand everything before we submit to that. Because that thinking can work in well in other things. For example, if you want to buy a house, you want to know everything about that house. You don't want to find out that it was the site of a murder back in the 1930s. You find all these skeletons in your backyard. Or if you're going to buy a car, you want to know everything about that car. You don't want to be driving on the 401 and find your brake pedal is not working, after all, which happened to someone I know. I was in the car too. It's really scary. But with faith, when it comes to faith, we have to give up that mentality of trying to understand everything before we give ourselves to it, because we'll never get to the bottom of it. God is so vast. He's infinite. He goes beyond our finite, limited capacities to fully understand. so that when we come to God and we come to the things of God, like the Eucharist, we have to just trust in God. We have to trust that this is the body of Christ. We have to just trust that the Mass is the sacrifice of Calvary. We got to try to avoid our tendency to want to fully understand, get to the bottom of everything before we can say yes to it. Everything else outside of faith, that's fine. You have to do that. But when it comes to faith, we have to be willing to give up our desire, our need to grasp everything before we can say yes to it. And so that's why when we come to profess the faith, we were not saying we understand everything perfectly. Even the most intelligent theologian, even Thomas Aquinas, he said he could not understand everything fully. We understand in part, but not everything. But in faith, we give consent to that. We give trust. We say, I trust that this is true because I trust God and I trust the things God has said. We don't give faith blindly. It's not faith is not blind because we have a reason why we believe. We believe because we trust in God, that God is true, that God will not lie to us, he will not let us down. And so we, based on God's authority, we believe in the things that God says. But it does involve a kind of letting go of our tendency to want to grab everything, to be able to fully have it in our hands before we can say yes to it. And so when we profess our faith, and when we are faced with the great realities of our faith, like the Eucharist, for example, we can understand part of it. We know it's the body of Christ. We don't fully understand how that works or how is that going to do for us. But we have to submit to that in faith so it can transform our lives. All that's being asked of us is to say yes in faith. Say yes, we believe. Yes, we trust in God. That's all. God does all the work. That's the thing about faith. God does all the work for us. All we have to do is just let him, just believe in him, and just trust in God. And for a lot of us, that means entering through the narrow door, letting go of our desire to want to comprehend everything, to try to understand everything. And it means letting go and having faith in God and having trust in God. Because the minute we start trusting in God, we start believing in the things of God, the minute we'll find that these things will transform us. Our faith is powerful, the Eucharist is powerful, baptism is powerful, confession is powerful. It's a very deep reality. We can understand it in a basic sense, but the full majesty often goes beyond us. However, if we trust and believe it in faith, we'll find that it will transform us.